Blog Talk Radio.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
And that's Johnny Cash, and he came out with that song in 1956, and that was the year that I was born, the Catholic Defender, Donald Hartley. The Catholic Defender was born in 1956, and I've been walking the line ever since.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of this search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are. But he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, we look at every apparition of the Virgin Mary that we can bring to you with great truth and research. We look at the facts. We look at what the investigators have turned up. We look what the witnesses say, and we present all that evidence for your consideration. Do we say it's real? Well, the facts seem to be real, but it's always up to you as to what you believe and what you think. However, you may notice if you follow this program for a while, there's some very definite patterns and distinct details that pop up every single time. Even though we may be in Korea one week, South America the next week, Africa, then up to Europe, and even Russia, just anywhere that she appears, we look at the facts and the details. And what we find is pretty amazing, very amazing. And so it's a pattern that develops as you listen to these shows. Predict what she's going to do, how she's going to show up, what she's going to say. It's very predictable. And you couldn't get all these countries and cultures around the world over 2,000 years to come up with the same details and patterns like that unless it was an organized effort. Not likely. We can't organize anything on this planet altogether, let alone a hoax of this magnitude over 2,000 years. So it's not. It's real. It's supernatural. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And we bring it to you for you to consider and to look at. In doing so, it enhances your faith. It brings inspiration. It did for me because about 11 years ago, I was just becoming Catholic. And we've been doing this show since January of 2014, every Sunday night that we can. And I'll be honest, it's been truly a journey with Mary. And we have just thoroughly enjoyed the messages, the details, the miracles, the predictions, the warnings, everything that she gives to us by way of heaven, giving it to her to give to us. So fasten your seatbelts and hang on. We're going to finish up with South Korea tonight with Julia Kim. We'll get to that in a few minutes. It's always an honor to be on this show and to know that it's gone out to as many as 200 countries around the world. We've tracked them, and we've written it down, and it's just amazing how it can reach the little island of Malta in the Mediterranean or a Pacific island or even way over in China and Korea. And I mean, it's amazing how many countries have tuned in, Vietnam, Australia. It's just a blessing to have that many people interested. And obviously they keep coming back, and we are glad to have them. Such good information we like to provide, and we always check it carefully. If you don't like what we say, then you better check with the investigations and the experts and the professionals and the witnesses, because all we're doing is passing on the good stuff that they've provided for us to share with you. So with that, it's a great honor to welcome back my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. He's returning to live action. He's literally back in the saddle again. Hey there, Donald.
Hey, John. I tell you, and I'm so thankful to be back, and I want to thank everybody for all their prayers and everything since my stroke and everything. And I've been the Lord has protected me. And Our Lady has protected me. And one of the things I'll say that I normally would say in before is that in Acts chapter 2, 19 through 20, it says that it will come to pass in the last times it would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, indeed the handmaids of the Lord. And he would perform wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And St. John regards this, you go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, St. John says. He says that if anyone comes to you with the supernatural, we are to test the spirit. So by what is the means that we test the spirit? What is the measuring stick? Well, it is through the Holy Catholic Church, through that apostolic authority and that witness that Jesus has provided through the authority of the Catholic Church. And so, John, that's what you and I have been working under that umbrella all these years and all these shows. And thank you, John, for the work that you've put in on this. This is such amazing. And this is one of the reasons why in the last 3 years we've helped over 1 million fallen away Catholics come back to the church. And that is so important. It says in James chapter 5, 19 through 20, that if someone has gone astray from the truth and then another brings them back, know that you have saved a soul from death and canceled a multitude of sin. You go to Luke chapter 15, verse 3, the Lord would leave the 99 to go after the one that has gone astray. And when he finds him and brings him home, there's much joy in heaven. And so this is the Lord's work, and we consider that a major part of this apostolate that we do here at Deeper Truth and this series, Journey with Mary. And again, John, thank you for the work that you have put into this. It's so awesome.
It's been a joy, truly a joy. And thank you for having me. I see that Kathy has signed on.
Yeah, I see her. We got Kathy from the great state of Missouri. We got Michael from New Jersey. And we got Doc from Clarksville, Tennessee. And so that's who we have online with us right now, John.
All right. Would you like to hear from any of them?
All right. Well, let's girls first. Hey, Kathy, how you doing? And it's great to see you.
Hi, Donald. It's good to have you back. Hi, Mike. Hi, John. Hi, Doc. I'm glad you guys are here.
We're glad you're here.
Ask me how windy it was today.
I know how windy it was. I'm in Missouri, too.
It was so windy. We were going on motorcycle ride. Yeah.
Oh.
We were on a motorcycle ride, and I looked up, and there was one of those vulture birds flying in the sky, and he was headed east where the winds was coming from, and he was getting nowhere. He wasn't going anywhere.
He's riding the wind stream. I used to see him do that out on the oil rig.
Say that again.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. The bird, that bird that you saw flying, he was riding the wind stream. I used to work offshore for 10 years, and you go up on the heliport where the helicopters land, and you'd always see these birds, and they looked like they were motionless in the air. They weren't moving at all, but you could see their feathers rippling. They were just coasting on the wind. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. He was just stuck.
Yeah. They'll just ride it until they can catch it to where they can move forward.
That's great. How are you doing, Michael?
Hey, fantastic. You know, John, you couldn't have given me a better intro for this if you tried. This is for you. I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum weed. Back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again.
And we welcome you back, if I can get that button pushed.
Yes.
We welcome you back,
Donald.
John.
Yeah, there we are.
Well, it's great to be back. It's great to be back, and I tell you, and I do believe that the Lord has safeguarded me. And the doctor, my doctor told me with the stroke, he told me that the Virgin Mary is wanting to keep me and hold on to me for the long haul. So we're in this for the long haul. And I'm so thankful for this team that we have here, Deeper Truth. And Michael, I love those intros that you have you put together, and I love those. So
yeah.
I'm glad that yeah. So and everything. So y'all I mean, you all make this a joy. Y'all make this a joy.
Well, I think it's a nice group effort, that's for sure. Yeah. All right.
Hey,
well,
man, I'm just along for the ride.
Well, hang on.
I'm thankful to be along, man.
Yeah. Well, tonight we return to South Korea. The visionary is Julia Kim. And we've heard in the last several weeks that she's had many visits from Mary, many messages from Mary, a few from Jesus. And as further proof of the supernatural quality of these visits, she's had 13 different occasions where the host has turned to bleeding flesh on her tongue. 13 occasions over 16 years. And that one was in front of Pope John Paul II in his private chapel, which, you know, she obviously was seen as special to even be there. But she was in his private chapel having mass, and it happened right in front of Pope John Paul II. And, of course, some people might say, well, she just bit her tongue and make it bleed, make it bloody. No. They tested the blood. Her blood is type O. And the host was type AB positive, just like the Shroud of Turin, just like all the other Eucharistic miracles. So it was very consistent with the other miracles. And there's a lot more things that have happened. She had a statue of Mary that was weeping tears and even bleeding. She's had the crowd has seen the sun spin in the sky, just like Fatima. It wasn't just her. That was, you know, thousands of people and all sorts of other things. Hosts dropping out of thin air and landing on the altar, which they photographed before they touched it. There's just many things they've been documenting. Tonight we're going to cover one of the final things. And it gets, I tell you, it's just really amazing, but it's so well documented and researched, and the science was there, and we'll cover all that tonight. So while Julia was doing the Stations of Cross on this mountain near Naju, which they call Blessed Mother's Mountain, she's doing the Stations of Cross in the early morning of November 9th, 2001, when she received a message from Our Lady and at the same time saw a vision of Our Lord suffering terrible pains for our sins and his precious blood gushing out of his seven wounds, forehead, two hands, heart, side, and two feet. And Our Lady was also shedding tears of blood, her pain over the whole matter. And soon afterwards, Julia and several others who were with her found little rocks and fallen tree leaves at the site of the Stations of the Cross stained with blood, and even little pieces of flesh which had fallen on the ground. They immediately knew that these must be Our Lord's precious blood and flesh torn from his body by scourging and Our Lady's tears of blood. They found hundreds of rocks and tree leaves stained with blood along the whole way between the third station, where Our Lord fell the first time, and the 14th station, where Our Lord was buried. tested all the rocks and tree leaves stained with blood for preservation and laboratory testing. The scenes of collecting these rocks and tree leaves were photographed and videotaped. The blood samples are being tested at the forensic lab at Seoul National University, which I'll have the results in a little bit, which was the most reputable laboratory in Korea. The preliminary result shows it to be human blood. More details will be made public later, and I'll have those. A Vatican-recognized team of scientists in Latin America have also indicated interest in conducting a separate test, and so they'll be traveling to Korea to examine the site, the miracles, interview the witnesses, and bring blood samples for testing. The descent of our Lord's blood and flesh, together with Our Lady's tears, is truly a most amazing heavenly sign with a tremendous significance. It is also a powerful reminder to all of us of the fundamental Christian truth that our salvation is made possible through our Lord's suffering and shedding of his blood. Another major miracle on the same mountain, change of the Eucharistic species of bread and wine into those of live flesh, that's live flesh and blood, in the form of a small heart during Bishop Danilak's visit on September 22, 1995. There have also been numerous other miracles there for the past several years. Physical healings by way of the water from the Blessed Mother's spring, the fragrance of roses, which the saints used to call the odor of sanctity, the descent of fragrant oil, and more things. The continuing occurrences of these miracles are unfolding. On June 11, 2002, not that long ago, Julia Kim said, quote, "Suddenly there was a strong dusty wind, and I struggled not to be swept away by it." By the way, that's very common at the beginning of Fatima and at other apparitions. Strong wind often is one of the first signs. Just thought I'd throw that in. Soon light shined from the sky and the strong dusty wind stopped. "I was surprised," she says, "because there was the Blessed Mother in the sky with a sun-like bright light around her head. The helper who was with me assisted me to sit up. A while later, the light was not visible any longer, and it was a cloudy day. At that moment, the helper uttered, 'Oh,' and went to the spot where a Eucharistic miracle had occurred on September 22nd, 1995. Suddenly he shouted, 'Ah, there are lots of fresh blood marks on the ground. It must have come down just now.' So she went to that place also. 'Oh,' she says, 'what a wondrous sign. There were fresh blood marks on the ground around a table on which photographs of the Eucharistic miracle on September 22nd were being displayed. So where the pictures were on the table, these blood markings had appeared around them. There were also blood on some rocks, which was thicker, and the blood on the rocks was moving as if breathing.'" Okay, I'd like to see that video for sure. I'm going to stop there just for a second. Any reactions, comments, thoughts?
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
I got you. Go ahead.
That's pretty wild. Breathing blood.
Oh, yeah.
On the way of the cross. That's awesome.
Oh, what a perfect place. What a perfect place.
Yeah.
For little bits of flesh and blood to be dripping.
I
want to
pay attention to that strong wind. Actually, you said that's happened at a lot of apparitions. But that's actually, I'm not the chapter verse guy, that's Don. But I remember reading that when the Holy Spirit came into the temple, it actually ran the priest out the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the Garden of Eden, they heard the rumbling God blowing through the winds. That was the part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So that's not surprising that when an apparition would come, that the Holy Spirit would pave the way for that. And that's how, I mean, throughout biblical writing history, that's how he's made present initially, period.
Well, Doc, if my memory's correct, didn't the day of Pentecost itself open up with a mighty rushing wind?
Yes, it's biblical. It's been written down several times throughout history, throughout biblical history. The presence, before any miracle actually really happens, there's something that happens. I mean, when the voice of heaven, the Holy Spirit came down and then appeared as a dove, and you heard his voice. My son, I'm pleased. And like I said, in the Garden of Eden, and all throughout history, there was, I mean, in the burning bush, there was word of this rush. You know, God's presence is known, and that's how it's been made known to us throughout biblical history, is through that initial whoosh. Lets us know we're here. So when you said that, I was like, wow, okay. The blood and all that, yeah, that's definitely an eye catcher and a lot of attention in the lab. Now with physical evidence, that's great. But it's very easy to overlook one of the most important aspects of this apparition, one of the things that actually can actually prove whether it happened or not.
Yes.
That's just
very
my
well
two
said.
Cents.
No, I'm glad
wow,
you said
Doc.
That because you're right.
Wow. Yeah, that I will never forget that. I will think of that forever.
And since we've talked about that on this show, I've seen in the Bible several times now mention of that strong wind. And it's so easy to just read right past that and not add it up like we're doing right now. So well
right.
said, Doc. Good job. Good job.
And just so you all know, I was actually born Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital, Applegate Village, Camden, New Jersey. So I was actually born in a hospital that was inspired by an actual apparition.
I love it. Love it.
So,
and
yeah,
here you are.
Goes way back. I wasn't Catholic back then. I didn't know, but I do feel God's providence and his blessings. And I think he had an eye out on me long before I knew I was going to be me. So, that's just, my way of saying thank
hey,
you,
Doc?
I guess.
Hey,
yeah.
Doc. I just wanted to tell you one thing that we do on this show. We one of our objectives is to show how biblical all of these stories are. And so you just came right out and perfect fashion there. And you are totally right.
I'm not the chapter verse. I've read it. I've actually read, the Dewey Range, the New American, the King James, and I actually read the Book of Mormon and parts of the Quran. I haven't finished that. That was just too much of a nightmare. But I like biblical writing. I do like biblical writings, especially the old biblical writings. I can name several other books because that gives us our history. We talk about holding on to our traditions, but as more and more our traditions, especially in the church, are being stripped away and being replaced by this tutti frutti, kumbaya stuff. And it's making the stronger part, the masculine part, that's making a comeback, and I'm glad to say it.
Yeah. Second Thessalonians chapter 2:15. St. Paul tells us and says to hang on to the tradition which we have given you, either by what we have written to you, or what we have told you. And that's it has been embodied in the Catholic Church for 2,000 years, and we do need to hold on to that. So
we do, and it's up to us to make that happen.
Doc, can I make a suggestion?
Yes, ma'am, please.
I teach my daughter's homeschool, and we use Seton Home Studies School, and I buy their books from Seton Press. And they have one book called Witness to the Faith, which is history, but in light of the church, you know, because if you take God out of the history, it's not the real thing. But Witness to the Faith, and then my daughter's also reading the history of the United States, you know, through a Catholic perspective. And, man, I just got to sit down and read these books and read what she's reading because it is so cool, you know, it's history, real stuff.
Talk about it, small world. I have a 20-year-old son who graduated from Seton, went through, we sent him to the magnet school. He went to school able to read on a third grade level, and by grade five, he had actually lost intelligence, so we put him in Seton, and we were raising our, I got another one, 15 years old. He's in Seton right now. My wife, I really wish she'd come on, but she doesn't do the radio thing at all. But she is brilliant, and she is a phenomenal teacher. And I have learned so much. Those programs you're talking about, the history of the world, when you look at it through a Catholic perspective, what you don't get through the secular schools, it really brings history to life, and it actually makes it real, and it explains so much of what was going on in the world, because they just told you this happened, that happened, that happened, but it didn't tell you why. And when you look at it through the Catholic goggles, you see why things happened, why things went the way they did, and I mean, the perspective of it, the education is just invaluable.
It's amazing. That's so cool. That's so cool you're already there.
Yeah, Seton homeschool program. And the cool thing is it's a brick-and-mortar building. So it's not really considered homeschool. It's technically, or at least in Tennessee, it's considered a correspondence school because it's a real school. And that right there gives it a lot more credibility and a lot more, you know, it's transferable. And, I mean, it's a good education. You know, I'd put my kids up educationally against anybody comparable. You know, it's
awesome.
Really good school. And
great.
These are the future Catholic leaders. These are the future Catholic defenders. And they need
all
that
right.
good foundation, that good education.
That is
and
awesome.
For the listeners out there, I'm going to tell you right now, if COVID covered one thing and woke us up to one thing, it's the garbage they're teaching in the schools. Get involved. Go to your school board meetings. Make your voices heard. That's it. We have to defend the kids. Period.
Well
Yo.
Said. Well said.
That needs to be done.
All right. Well, thank you, Doc. That was awesome. Great insight, great comments, and thank you for all the participation from everybody. Moving on, Julia Kim now says, we were speechless before the Lord's inestimable love and amazing mystery. We just sat down and cried. A while later, I tried to stand up and walk, but I couldn't. So I crawled to a nearby restroom and realized that the lower part of my body was badly damaged. All over my body there were poking marks, which were made with an iron rod, and many bruises, and the sides were very swollen. I felt extreme pains from the head to the toes. Nevertheless, I could smile with much joy because I was allowed to participate in the Lord's sufferings even a little, and also because I thought that more sinners would repent as the Lord opened up his heart and shed blood at the place where the Eucharist had turned into visible flesh and blood. Then she says, when I dipped my finger in the fresh, precious blood, the blood continued to pulsate, pulling my finger rhythmically and with some force, like a living person's heart. At one moment, the blood even splashed up. We counted the pulse in this blood, and it was 87 beats per minute. Now, folks, we're talking about blood on the ground that they have found pulsating, having a pulse of 87 beats per minute. She said her own pulse was 72, and pulses were also different among those who were present, some who had come to the mountain later, especially when Julio, her husband, touched her finger. The precious blood on it momentarily splashed up, even making a sound. Everyone who saw this was totally amazed, unquote. Now, I want to point out that when scientists have done studies of Eucharistic miracles, they're all the time talking about, and this is kind of looked over, they talk about the blood being living from a living person, and the blood has the chemistry and profile of living blood, not dead blood, or, you know, it's still coming from a living person. So this all matches that, which is all amazing. During the overnight prayer meetings in Najee, go ahead.
Well, you know, I was a paramedic. I'm retired now. I was a paramedic for 35 years. I was a special ops medic, and I've been around a lot of blood. And
yeah.
I've been around a lot of situations like this, similar to that, but not the pulsating blood. And I'm just trying to put myself in the mind of this woman that this is happening to. I mean, it's easy to hear the story and, oh, wow, that's great. But to actually put yourself in, this is happening in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I can handle it. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
I don't, I mean, that first off, you come up, there's blood and tissue. Everywhere. That's an horrific scene. Can you imagine walking
right.
in on that? That, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, and for her to keep her composure and to be able to go through that's wow. You know,
I think
that's all I got.
And your reaction is quite human indeed. I think most people would be kind of grossed out by all that, but she had the right mindset. A lot of them were. They were saying here.
You know, it'd be like walking into a crime scene. And most people
right.
that you know, their minds can't handle it, they would literally go into shock, I think, you know, or freak out, you know, or just run,
yeah.
you know, off screaming or something. But to her,
well,
you know, that
you
they
know,
had the wherewithal to film it, record it, and collect it, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
you
and
know?
You're right. It actually was somewhat of a crime scene, if you think about it. So,
the ultimate
but, you know,
crime scene.
Right, that's right. Well, and Julia said she couldn't handle it. She sat down and just cried. It was so overwhelming. So she did tell us that it was very overwhelming. And the others were just in shock around her. They were astounded and shocked. But they, again, did have the presence of mind to film, to document, to video, which has been a big part of this case. And, of course, take samples of all this stuff, which we're going to hear the results soon. So just an amazing, I mean, this is, I don't have one that I think is more dramatic than this, but her mindset was that this is a blessing to have his blood and flesh is a blessing to her and to feel his sufferings and the pains in her body. She has the right mindset to view it as a gift rather than something gross or awful. And you know, it's probably why she kept having these, because she had the right mindset to receive them and to share them with people.
What,
hey John,
what do we know
so
of her?
I have a picture with Pope St. John Paul II with her, and that he witnessed something of the supernatural. And I will tell you this, too, that today I was exposed and received the actual body and blood of Christ at Mass today. Yeah, and I believe that I was in the right disposition, and I think any Catholic who goes to Mass and receives the Eucharist in the right frame of mind, those Jesus says in John chapter 6 that he would raise them up on the last day. That's how important this
Happy
is.
Happy Palm Sunday, everybody.
Amen. Amen. I was... You know, one thing
Donald,
for some of our listeners out there. Well, you know, Doc there in Clarksville and I, we worked together. I worked in the emergency room there, and we knew each other pretty well there, and we supported each other that well. And in fact, I happened to be honored to be the godfather to Michael, his oldest
Michael.
Son. That's awesome. Michael.
Yes,
yeah.
You are. One thing I want to point out about all these apparitions, and doing shows like this helps combat that, what I'm going to say, because I thought of this earlier. The greatest trick that the devil did was convince mankind he doesn't exist. I'm sure you all agree with that, right? Well,
right.
If he doesn't exist, then God doesn't exist, and that was the plan all along. And so it's easy for people to write this stuff off as hysteria or whatever, but the facts that you actually have the lab and the physical evidence combats that, and it makes the whole devil's house of cards just one card weaker. And I want to thank you all for putting this show on for that very reason.
Oh, that's a good point. And we appreciate that very much. I'm going to jump now to the samples that were tested and tell you what the 8 different samples were and then the amazing results that they came up with. The first sample was the powdered piece of blood-stained cloth that Jesus allegedly gave to Julia on February 28th, 2001, Ash Wednesday. Okay, that's sample number one. Sample number two that was studied was one of the many blood-stained stones witnessed by Bishop Dominic, who was visiting from Malaysia in 2002. So blood-stained stones. Sample three was the precious blood that exuded from the bloody host on May 6, 2005. So one of the hosts that was on her tongue. Another sample was a stone stained with the precious blood that came down on the mountain on 2006. Sample five, precious blood that descended on Julia's bed. Yes, that happened in her bedroom. They even set up a camera 24 hours, day and night, to see if there's any monkey business. And the blood would still drip out of thin air onto her bed. And there's pictures
wow.
in my book of that blood. Yeah. There's on my website and also in my book, you can see that where and that was just amazing because they were filming and they could see no monkey business whatsoever, and yet it kept happening. So that's one of the samples, too.
I want a copy of your book. Send it to me. I'll pay for it. I need a copy of your book.
Well,
yeah.
All right. We'll talk about that at the end of the show,
yeah.
How you can get that.
Yeah.
Sure. Sample six was a precious blood that was collected with a syringe on the mountain. So, you know, that blood that had been thick on the ground, and it has maintained its liquid state before it was even tested in the lab. Sample seven, the precious blood that flowed from the crucifix down to Julia's hand and arm on 2006, and that blood maintained its liquid state. And sample eight, the final sample, was cotton stained with the precious blood that came down on Blessed Mother's Mountain and was witnessed by the bishop was visiting from Malaysia in 2002. That blood remained uncoagulated for 140 days. Most people know the blood coagulates within minutes. So
yeah, it doesn't last that long.
It was a long time. So after completing the tests on samples 6 and 7, the head of the Department of Clinical Pathology stated that both blood samples were of type AB positive. And here, I'll jump a little bit ahead here. I'm actually reading from my book now because this stuff was newer than what I had on the website. Anyway, on the same day, all 8 samples were delivered at a DNA test center in Seoul. Both the DNA test results announced verbally on 2006 and a final written report in November 2006 confirmed that all the blood samples tested belonged to one and the same human male. Now, this is over 16 years. So that means...
Right.
To fake this, you have to have some invisible guy that gets inside of her mouth in front of Pope John Paul II, hangs in the air and drips blood over her bedspread while cameras are running and show nothing, who drips blood and flesh on the mountain, who it just goes on and on, and it's all the same guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know. We've got him. We know who it is now. Oh, it's Jesus.
Let me guess, John. They tested the DNA of the blood and found no markings for a human father.
They didn't say, but, you know, I can only repeat what they did publish. But I'm sure there's a lot more that they didn't say. But it was
on several of the samples that I have heard and read about through the years, as far as DNA testing goes, they can tell it's a human, they can tell it's a male, but they can't really go any further. The tests they come back, for some reason, the information is just not readable. I don't know if that is by intent or design. But I do find it kind of odd that, you know, in this day and age, when they can find the murderer of somebody from a plastic bag 5 states over, you know, I think that it's just some things I think are beyond our science at this point. But the
right.
DNA is there and tests are going on. I don't think there are some things I do not think we're supposed to know.
They can actually do a physical description of the suspect by his DNA.
Now,
they've developed tests for that.
Let me add to
what
that.
Mike is,
first of all, you are
what?
Let me add
Mike,
to that first.
Yeah, go ahead there, John.
First of all, Doc, you're absolutely right. They got human DNA on. I know of at least 13 Eucharistic miracles that were sampled from Mexico to Argentina to Poland, you know, all over the place. And blind studies to scientists, which means they had no idea where it was coming from. And they were all stunned that they could find human DNA but no genetic code, which is like having a finger without a fingerprint. A finger without a fingerprint.
Right, the genetic code, they couldn't track it.
Right. However, they said they were astounded, and they tried really, really hard to find it, and they never could. Any scientist in any country and any miracle that tried to do that could not find a genetic code. Now, I want to put this thought to you all. DNA comes from all those who come before us, correct? It's what's passed down from the previous generations to us, and that becomes our genetic code. Now, what if you're first in line?
Exactly.
What if you're the Holy Spirit? What if you're God? What if you're Jesus? Yeah.
Well,
who's passed down?
We know that Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he had no earthly father.
That's right.
So
that's right.
He got it all from all his DNA. He got from his mother.
So actually, what
the scientists
found,
because the spirit doesn't have DNA, there you go.
Right, and that validates our faith. Amen. Case closed.
Amen.
I love it. I love it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And the blood type was AB positive, same as the Eucharistic miracle, same as the Shroud of Turin, on and on and on. So awesome.
Speaking of the Shroud of Turin, I saw a thing recently. You have to look it up. I don't know where. I can't give you a way to get to it, but I did see it, so it's out there. So they use computer graphics to take the Shroud of Turin and bring forth a 3D face of what is believed Jesus. It was a Mediterranean man looking. It looked like who I thought it would look like from what I've seen. But it's very cool technology. Check it out. Is it actually him? I don't know. But it's what they have from the science they've developed.
Absolutely right. Well done.
Very
cool. Well done.
The picture. Like the picture that we took at Medjugorje. Go ahead, Kathy.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I think the video is on Amazon Prime, or you might be able to find it, because there's actually a video where they computer graphically created it, and so there's a video of, it coming out of the shroud.
I think I saw it on TikTok, but I'm not sure. I don't remember. I'm on a lot of social media platforms.
Yeah, it is on YouTube. Kathy's right. You can just search for that 3D image of Jesus' face, and I'm sure it will come right up. Good job. So this series of apparitions, the local bishop who has the authority to approve was rather hesitant because he didn't like all this publicity, and he was kind of freaked out by it all. But the fact that Pope John Paul II blessed her and accepted it, and many traveling archbishops and bishops were witness to Eucharistic miracles, and the science, all that's gone on, they pretty well accept that there's something real going on here. There's nothing made up. There's nothing hysterical. I mean, they tried their best to document, film, and analyze everything. And I actually have a picture. It's actually in my book. It shows what they do when they had drippings on the ground. They would put a black plastic ring about, let's say 6 inches in diameter. They would place it over the dripping, and then they would track them. Picture shows this trail of black rings that goes from one station of the cross to the next, as if an invisible man had walked it and dripped blood all the way. And it shows in my picture this trail of black rings going from one to another. And I thought, that is just the coolest thing that they did.
Man, that would be awesome to witness.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about the highlight of your life, man. That's a bucket list moment right there.
That's a great way to put it.
Hey, John, I got a question for you, because what's happening now, we've had a definite tech up on radio with Our Lady and what she said about the Ukraine. Do you have anything, or are you prepared to say anything that she said in reference to what's happening in the Ukraine? There's obviously a lot of interest in what we've done on the past in that. And I know that you didn't plan for that tonight. I was just going to ask you.
Well, I will give you a quick reaction to that. We have at least 4 visits to the Ukraine documented that I've documented, I've researched. And they stretch all the way from about 1912 up to about 2003. But in 1987, she came to a young visionary and said, Russia's going to be trouble for you all. She says, Russia is a godless country that is going to give you much trouble. But she loves Ukraine, and she is for those people big time. But that was in 87 that she said that. And then she had other messages in 2002 and 2003, but I'd have to look those up. But she definitely referred to Russia as being a future problem for them. And she said everyone should be praying the rosary. And she said to that girl that the rosary is feared by the devil and is the best weapon to beat him. So I guess we should all mail rosaries to Putin. Well, like you know what to do with it.
Yeah.
First thing I have something on him. Yeah. So anyway, we can do a special show on that if you want. By the way, I was going to say next week is Easter, and I wanted to suggest maybe we honor that day and let everyone be with their families and not necessarily do a show on that day. What do you all think of that?
I'm good with it.
Yeah, and
we could pre-tape one.
Yeah, but then people would be listening to it instead of being with their families. And
I don't know. I see your point.
Right. And a lot of people will be traveling and having dinners and stuff. So I thought that we might want to just take a break.
If it's just a matter of holding on to the airtime, can you pre-record some music and just play music in the background? And that way they can have it on. You keep the airtime. And that way they get some inspirational music, nothing with lyrics, just inspirational music, maybe some Gregorian chants or something like that, that they can play and get them away from the Easter Bunny and get them back to what the true meaning of Easter is. And that way you could have it on the background, and that way you still keep your airspace. I mean, it's just a thought. I don't know the technical end of what y'all do. But if one of the things that you'll find out about me as y'all get to know me is I'm an idea man. I come up with, I can't turn it off. It's like a faucet. It's just one thought after another.
I like that.
But
that's a good idea.
You know, it's a colossal pain in the butt. but yeah, if it's a matter of the airtime and you want to, not really have content, but have content, my thought would be throw some Gregorian chant, throw something that leads people to the true meaning of Easter, maybe some pre-recorded messages in there, and that way you can just set it up to play automatically, and that way we can be with our families, y'all keep your airtime, and we get the message out, everybody wins. Bam.
Well, Donald, we know we've got plenty of music if you want to do that. That's for sure. All right. And also for you, Doc, you can find the book I was referring. You can actually find it on Amazon if you like ordering from Amazon. I don't know if, but
I've actually been hit in the head a lot. I've had multiple traumatic brain injuries. I'm actually a medical anomaly. I should be alive. But so I won't remember the name of it. I won't remember any information. That's why I need it sent to me. Or at least you can get with Don. He can send me the information on it, and I'll get
okay.
it. That's not a problem. If you tell me what it's named, anything, and ask me 5 minutes, I won't remember.
I will end the show tonight with this particular song. I sang this song at Fort Polk, Louisiana, on Easter Sunday morning. I had the chaplain's assistant and the guitar, and this we practiced this, and we did this for our 2,000 soldiers, and this was cool. So I'll play this song to end tonight's show. So I think that's a good idea that next week there, John, and we could play some some good music for Easter.
All right.
All right. Let it rip.
Let it rip. Are we ready? Well, let John does what he does. He does the Hail Mary before we close. So
okay. Let me do that, and then you can do your song. So
okay.
Join with me now, everybody. Join with me to say a Hail Mary together worldwide. And as we do that, all these voices from around the world will be in unison saying the Hail Mary, and all these voices will rise up to heaven. And as they do, we want to make heaven smile. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our deaths. Amen. God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. We hope this has been educational, inspirational, interesting, and certainly thought-provoking. So make up your own mind what you think, but come back because we have so much more. And I will say that when we come back after the Easter break next Sunday, we will be going to Manila, Philippines, 1986. And I know Donald loves that one. Manila, Philippines, 1986. So we'll be going there in the week after Easter. So, all right. Take it away, Donald. Thank you all.
All right. Happy Easter, everybody, and thank you, everybody. And get this show out there. Get this show out. Send it to your friends and tell your neighbors and tell your friends. Tell people about this show, because this show, especially if you've got fallen away Catholics, how important this is. So here we go. Good night, everybody.
gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what, I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words
let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.